And welcome back to today's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman, and it's time for Food and Dining. We're, of course, talking about our great friend, chef, author, and syndicated columnist, Linda Gassenheimer's Food and Dining.
They finally brought the food in.
Finally. And she has a special chef in the studio. And Linda,
we're
today,
mercenary here.
It's seafood, yes?
It sure is. Way to taste what's okay. Here. We brought it in late because we wanted to keep it really cold. Anyway, hi, Bonnie and Joe. Nice
hi.
To be here. Okay, oysters. Now, I don't know why, but they've become very popular. All the restaurants are serving oysters. And there's a lot of different types of oysters. So how should we order them? What's the best food to go with them? Let's learn more about them. So, and also, conch, shrimp, lobster, crabs, grouper. I mean, we're so lucky here in South Florida because they're all in our local waters. So our guest is going to help us know how to buy and store and cook all of these wonderful foods. He's Chef John Iatrellis. He's from Lure Fish Bar, South Beach.
That's a mouthful.
I'm talking about it. My mouth is watering. Welcome, Chef.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Great to have you with us. And, of course, our topic today is how to enjoy the bounty of our sea here. And we'd love to hear from you, our listeners. Do you have any seafood questions? Give us a call. That's 800-743-9576, 800-743-WLRN.
And email radio at WLRN.org.
And, of course, with us is our favorite wine guy, Fred Tasker. He's joining us by Skype. You can read Fred's wine suggestions for my Dinner in Minutes columns in the Miami Herald. And you can also read his wine column. It's in the Saturday Herald. Fred, what are we drinking today?
Well, I'm going to talk about what wine goes with seafood, and I have some very tasty suggestions.
Oh, okay. Tasty wine or tasty food?
Both.
I knew that, Fred. Okay, Chef John Iatrellis, let me see now. You have a Greek background. You like to cook lamb. You are a chef at the Forge restaurant cooking steak. So how did you come to cook seafood?
Oh, I think it was a pretty natural transition, you know, living on this beautiful peninsula of South Florida and having such a vast variety of things to play with in the ocean. I think it was very seamless, but it was definitely a challenge that I really wanted to take on for myself and for my professional career, too.
Okay, and you, I think, are you from this area?
Yes, I'm born and raised here in South Florida.
Oh, so you've been used to this great seafood.
Oh, yeah.
Many years. Yeah. Okay. All right, let's start with our oyster question. First of all, why do you think it's become so popular? There's so many oysters on menus.
Well, you know, oysters by themselves, naturally, without doing anything to them, is an exquisite, you know, source of protein. And I think when you consume oysters, you can touch base on a lot of different flavor profiles, saltiness, brininess, sweet. So they're just a beautiful, beautiful piece of protein to consume on, and especially to put on the menu.
So what are the different types that are available to us here in South Florida?
Well, you know, you can get oysters shipped in from all over. On Lure Fish Bar, we specialize on having four different species, two East Coast, two West Coast.
East Coast United States and West Coast United States.
Yeah, well,
not
some of them.
West Coast of Florida.
No, not from Florida, no.
Okay.
A lot of
Apalachicola?
No. I get a lot of them out of Connecticut. Off of New York, and a lot of the West Coast I get off of, you know, Canada and Washington.
Okay. So somebody asked me just recently, how do you know if you've got a bad one?
Nice.
I mean, really bad, that can be bad.
You got to smell it. You got to smell it. You got to look at it. They'll release an ammonia. They'll release a gas. Don't consume any shellfish or oysters or clams that have already been opened. Try to make sure that they're closed and, you know, just natural rule of thumb, just smell it.
So if they're alive, it'll be closed.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Okay, so then how do you eat them? I mean, I know we can just slurp them down and that's it, but what are other ways?
That's the best way. Why do anything else? You know, you can put sauce on it. You can dress them, you know, horseradish, cocktail sauce. We actually do four different flavors of dressed oysters at Lure Fish Bar, which gives it a little different flavor
what
profile.
What do you mean by dressed oyster?
Well, we put a little pineapple salsa, a little bit of shallot mignonette, jalapeno ponzu, and it just makes for a great condiment for the oyster. But personally, I prefer to consume them raw.
Just as they are.
Yep.
Well, sounds good. Okay, so we started off by saying we're surrounded by this wonderful seafood and all, and you've brought something for us to taste.
Yes, yes, I did. I think you guys are going to love them.
Bonnie's slurping it away.
She's already almost done.
It is so good.
You heard your petite little crunch from Bonnie.
Yeah.
So is ever that so what quietly, that noise was?
Very well-mannered.
What are we eating?
Well, one of the dishes that we're going to be doing at the Coconut Grove Seafood Festival is tuna tacos. And what I do is I take this beautiful cut of tuna, yellowfin tuna. I chop it in small little pieces and toss it with a soy vinaigrette, jalapenos, and cucumbers, and top it with a little bit of guacamole.
Your tuna was so red, I thought it was a tomato. Really beautiful. How do we, consumers, how can we go and buy something like that?
You got to know the right people. You know,
we know you.
There you go. Well, just give me a call and I'll make sure I take care of you guys. Okay. But, you know your butcher. Know your local vendor, your supermarket, where you're getting your fish from. Talk to them. Let them know, you know, conversate when you're getting your fish in, how you're getting it in. And just, you know, have a good understanding of where the food is actually coming from. But with seafood, you can't play any games. Freshness is the key.
Okay, so you're going to be... And how do you get these tacos? Did you make your own tacos? They're so crisp.
Yeah, we did.
And thin, very thin.
Yeah. I use a very, very thin dough, and I fry them up very nice and very crispy, nice and golden brown, and just to make sure that they stay nice and fresh and crispy. You got to have that nice little different texture, especially when eating tuna.
Okay.
It is such a perfect combination.
Thank you.
The flavors, the textures,
and
everything.
There's guacamole in there.
Yes,
as
just,
well.
Just a little bit.
A little touch.
Just to balance it out.
Right. And so you said you're going to be at the Coconut Grove Seafood Festival October 18th.
Yes.
You're going to be shucking oysters there?
I'm going to be shucking away. I'm going to be doing a lot that day. We're also going to be involved in the Shipwreck Lounge. And we're also going to have another booth where we're going to be doing these beautiful tuna tacos, some salmon tartare, and I'll be doing a shucking of oysters on stage to do a live demo. It's going to be a lot of fun.
I always admire people who shuck oysters very quickly. Does that take a lot of practice?
It does. You know, it's not the same as just cutting a piece of fish because every oyster is different. But it takes a lot of focus and a lot of practice for sure.
And strength?
Not really. You know, not so
much.
A
good knife?
Yes, yes. It's all about the leverage, really. You know, how you get that knife in there, you know, twist the wrist, make sure you get it open. You just want to make sure you keep the integrity of the oyster intact. You don't want to rip it.
Okay, so it's all in the wrist.
Yeah.
We have a caller here on line one. Hello, Joe in Miami. You're on the air.
Oh, yeah, hi. I like to make Bahamian conch salad, and I go to the supermarket and I can sometimes find conch, but it's usually frozen from Belize, and you know conch salad is raw. Should I try to find fresh conch, or is it okay to use the frozen conch? I haven't had any issues so far.
Well, you know, if you're limited with your sources, you know, there's not really anything wrong with doing that, but I prefer to always, you know, use and cook fresh seafood, especially when you're getting into the shellfish.
Right, because conch salad is raw. So do you have any recommendations on where I could find fresh conch? Because is it brought in from the Bahamas, or is there Florida conch?
Most of the conch that I do purchase is flown in from the Bahamas. You just, you know, like I said, you just got to, I don't know what region where you're at exactly, but you just got to know your local market, your local butcher, and just, you know, let him know where he's getting it from.
Maybe someone listening in the Keys can call him.
Well, right. Yeah, that's the best place to
go.
I
thought it wasn't allowed to be sold commercially. In the United States. Somebody might correct me, but I think that's true.
Yeah, I was unaware of that. But I'm sure if you're in the Keys, I'm sure everybody and their mother's selling conch down there.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Any tips for a good conch salad? Any of your inside tips?
Just, you know, whatever vegetables that you're putting in there, peppers or onions, just, you know, very, very thinly sliced. You don't want to, you know, steer away from the flavor of the conch. You just want to add to to it.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
And really, fresh is really makes
that's
a
the
huge,
only way to go.
Huge difference. Because I've been down in the Bahamas where they've got take the conch out of the water. They make the salad right there for you at the dock. And it was just like unbelievable.
That's heaven right there.
Yeah, yeah.
I've had that on the diving boats where they make that conch ceviche on there.
Yeah, it's really good. Okay, we have a caller, Bill from West Palm Beach. Hello, Bill. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I wanted to ask a question about raw oysters. Having gotten hepatitis A from eating oysters, I was wondering, since they're growing in popularity, if there's something that's being done by chefs to address this issue, or what comments might be about that issue.
Well, you know, just like with the seafood and pretty much anything that I put on the menu, you just have to have a good, strong understanding of where they're coming from, where they're being grown, how they're being handled. But as far as doing anything to the oysters raw when I serve them just to combat anything, I just let them be as natural as they can. Make sure that I keep up with my dates on the tags of when they were harvested and when they came into my building.
I think that's really important.
Yeah.
You have to really know what waters it's come out of.
Yeah. Linda, isn't it supposed to be that if you have any compromised immune system, you probably shouldn't eat raw oysters?
You shouldn't eat raw anything.
Yeah, that's right. That's
yes,
correct.
That's yeah. absolutely true. And also, you have to know where it's coming from. And if you're in a, if you're buying them in a store, you can ask to see the tag.
Yeah, well, I would highly recommend in anywhere you go to purchase oysters, ask the butcher to let me see the tag, because you have to bear in mind, it's probably been in transit for at least a day or two before they got it. And then if it's sitting in their shelf, you just want to be very particular on when it was harvested.
And if you're going to have them in a restaurant, make sure it's a good restaurant.
What's the
like
limit?
Laura.
If they're stored properly, what's the limit?
You know, anything after a couple of days, 3 days, I would really, you know, try to do something with it. But, you know, by law, you have to keep the tags around for 30 days after the oysters has been sold. So any supermarket, anywhere you purchase these oysters or shellfish in general, they mm-hmm. have the tags and they have to show you when they're
right.
harvested.
And people should know that cooking them doesn't ameliorate the problems with
No, if the oyster is bad, it's bad.
It's
cooked
bad.
It raw, no matter
bad
how
is
it
bad.
Is. Yeah.
Thank you for your call, Bill.
Thank you,
Bill.
Right. All right, let's go on. We only have a minute here, but when we get the fish home and we want to cook it and all, especially shellfish, how do we keep it from being rubbery?
Well, you don't want to overcook it. A lot of times people overcook their shellfish, and that can tend to make it rubbery. You just want to make sure that you store it properly in ice, make sure that it's nice and chilled, and make sure you cook it for the proper amount of time.
Right, And don't boil anything that like boiled lobster or something, because boiling it will make it like rubber as well.
Oh, yeah. I prefer to if I'm not grilling, because that's obviously I love to grill outside in the summertime. But if I'm cooking lobster, I would definitely steam it, because you're controlling the moisture and you're adding it to the lobster itself, too.
Well, on that
How
note,
do you feel about microwaving lobster?
That's a sin, and I think you should throw your microwave away.
Oh,
okay. Oh, well.
On that note, Fred, as you're recovering, we're going to go to a break.
As he throws away his microwave. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, if you spend a lot of money on lobster to microwave it, it's
Sorry, Fred. Okay, I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and we're talking with Laura Fishbar South Beach chef John Iatrellis. We'll take a short break and be back with more. And we're back. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. And we're talking with Chef John Iatrellis. He's from the Lure Fish Bar South Beach. He's been giving us some great tips on how to buy and store seafood, especially oysters. And he's going to be at the Coconut Grove Seafood Festival Sunday, October 18th. And there's going to be a lot of seafood vendors there. They're going to be offering bushels of shrimp, oysters, lobster, and of course it's the beginning of stone crab season. And also, for those of you who are asking about where to buy fish, Casablanca Fish Market, they're going to be selling fish to take home. For tickets, you can go to coconutgroveseafoodfestival.com. So if you're going to be cooking at home tonight, how about some shellfish? It's dinner in minutes time. And today's dinner is mussels steamed in garlic, tomato, and white wine broth. Mussels are really, really easy to cook, and they're very inexpensive. And Chef is shaking
yes,
his head.
And yes, and it already sounds delicious.
Yeah, okay, good, great. So for this dish, first I use some microwave brown rice. So I just microwave the rice, and I divide it between two large bowls. And then I heat some oil in a large saucepan, and I saute onion and garlic and celery and tomatoes. And you cook them until they shrivel. And then I add white wine. I bring it to a slow boil. And then I add my mussels, and I cover. I'm okay now. So far, Chef keeps shaking his head. Yes, okay. Cover the pan tightly. Let it boil very gently, about 3 minutes, and shake the pan several times. And the wine's going to boil up over the mussels, and they're going to open. And then remove them quickly from the heat. We don't want rubbery mussels. We want to have them just perfectly cooked. Remove them with a slotted spoon and place them in the bowl. And any of the mussels that do not open, throw them out, because they're not good. And then you put the broth over that. So it's simple, it's easy. This recipe is from my latest book, Delicious One-Pot Dishes, because it's all made in one pot. The complete recipe and a photo, it's at dinnerinminutes.com. And please follow me on Twitter. That's at L. Gassenheimer.
That's 15 minutes?
What?
Isn't dinner in minutes supposed to be 15?
So what's the matter with this one?
It just seems a little longer than 15 minutes, though.
You cook them for 3 minutes, Joe.
Oh, those things. If you get those mussels in a nice nice hot pan, they'll be open before you know it.
Well, all on purpose. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay, Joe. I'll cook them up for you. You will time me. You get your stopwatch out, okay?
All right. It'll be an hour for me.
Fred Tasker, what are we drinking?
Well, the question is, what kind of wine goes with seafood? And the answer is all kinds.
Of course.
From the lightest white to some pretty hearty reds, actually. Here are a couple of examples. In France's Loire Valley, near the cold North Atlantic Ocean, a lucky tourist can feast on the highly prized bigornu, which in English we call a periwinkle. And this is a tiny saltwater snail, and it comes in a spiral shell, but it's so small they give you a tiny copper pin to pull it out, and the flavor is extremely delicate. So what wine with that? It would be the local wine, naturally. It would be a white muscadet, M-U-S-C-A-D-E-T, made from the grape called Melon de Bourgogne. It's light as an angel's wings and dry as chalk, with seaside flavors of salt and lemons.
Are you talking about the wine?
Yeah.
That is a beautiful description,
it was.
By the way.
Yeah, you could spend an entire afternoon with periwinkles and muscadet, and you wouldn't even be full. Muscadet would also go well with what we've been talking about here, raw clams and oysters, and even simply prepared delicate fish like whitefish or North Atlantic haddock. And muscadet is a little rare here, so you might have to go to a good wine merchant and get him to order it for you. Now, in California, wine judges I know have another great combination that I've mentioned here before. They will drop a raw oyster into a small glass and fill it with Sauvignon Blanc and throw back an oyster shooter. This is a nice way to do it. And back home, with powerful, fatty red fish like salmon, those tuna tacos, or swordfish, you can invoke the trendy red wine with fish rule and drink a nice light red Beaujolais or Pinot Noir. And believe it or not, you can even drink a hearty red Zinfandel if you want. Just make Emeril Lagasse's recipe for New Orleans barbecue shrimp with his spicy Creole seasoning of, get this, paprika, garlic, black pepper, onion powder, cayenne pepper, oregano, and thyme. That's enough flavor to justify any Zinfandel.
But oh, finally, so you've really been looking up these recipes, huh?
Oh, I've had these things.
Yeah,
these,
okay,
these
cool.
Are, these
you're
are
speaking from experience.
Darn right, and very helpful and very fun experience. And finally, in my mind, and Linda will understand this, the world's ultimate seafood dish is Maine lobster pot pie.
Which is why you asked about lobster in the microwave?
No, I wouldn't do that in a microwave.
Okay, good.
I'm just trying to cause trouble.
Please, no.
Okay, go ahead.
A lobster pot pie has big chunks of lobster swimming in butter, heavy cream, and sherry under a flaky crust. And they actually sell this at drive-through windows in Kennebunkport. It is wonderful stuff.
Oh, my goodness.
That's awesome.
Really?
And to make the world's most opulent wine food pairing, you need the world's most over-the-top Chardonnay-based French white burgundy, maybe the Domaine La Fleuve Batard Montrachet. And this is spectacular. This is the meal I want the night before they execute me.
Oh, Fred, how morbid.
The pot pie is about $10 and the wine is $530. I don't go out cheap.
Okay, thank you, Fred Tasker. Very good. So Chef, Ayatollah, at Lure, what wines are mostly served with your fish there?
Well, we have a wonderful sommelier, Marco Chapnick, and he basically takes the opportunity and the times to get to know all of our guests, what courses they're going to be eating. But, you know, I'm glad that we just spoke about it because a lot of people are very hesitant to order a red wine when they're eating seafood. But it has this wonderful description that we just got. It's perfectly okay as long as you're pairing it with the right wine and the right seafood. But we have a long list of wines, whites and reds, new worlds and old worlds, and sakis, and anything that you can desire to pair with your food, we can definitely accommodate that.
Well, that sounds good. Well,
let's get back. That's a really good idea.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks, Fred. Well, let's go back to Fred's lobster, but let's talk about lobster tails that here. Now, so very often when we buy them, they're frozen, even though it's seasoned. And so is it sometimes maybe it's better than...
Well,
what do you think?
You know, if you're going to get your spiny lobster tails, you know, they're coming right from our backyard, so I'd prefer to definitely get those fresh. But if you're getting some nice, good Maine lobsters, and the lobster tails come in frozen, there's really no quarrels with that. You know, especially when you get into your king crab legs, those are definitely going to come in frozen because they're flash frozen to preserve the freshness and make sure that you can still get all of the great flavors, too.
Okay, so... if it's flash frozen on the boat when it's caught, it might be better than sitting in some case for a fish case for a week.
Yeah, 100%. I would definitely try to steer away from that. Fresh is always the way to go.
Okay. So now tell us a little bit about some tips on cooking fish. Now, fresh is the way to go. And when we look at a fish, for the most part, we don't buy a whole fish. It's a fish fillet. So we don't know if it's fresh or not.
Until
I take it home and I open the bag and I want to die.
And then you're like, what did I get myself into? Well, you know, just like what I said earlier, you know, rule of thumb is make sure you have a good understanding of where it's coming from. But, you know, my grandma always gave me a golden rule, and I stick to this. Don't buy the fish unless you see the head with it. So, you know, you always want to try to get the fish, you know, broken down in front of you. But you just want to touch the fish. If the fish has skin on it, you want to look at the texture of the skin. You want to look at the texture of the fish to itself. It definitely says a lot.
Would you dare buy a fish from one of those little trucks that run around South Dade and have big signs that say shrimp fresh from Key West?
Well, you know, I've actually stopped and I've looked at a lot of those trucks. And to be quite frank with you, they're pretty fresh and they look very good quality. And I remember one time I bought a bushel of clams and some smaller stone crab claws from one of those individuals. And you know what? They were great.
Do you trust your sense of smell enough to figure out if they're fresh?
Yes, I do, 100%, yeah.
I always wonder how many times they may have been frozen and defrosted.
Well, you could tell. You know, you can tell when you touch the firmness of the fish, when you touch the flesh of the fish, if it's very mealy and it kind of like breaks apart on the touch of your finger, you could tell that it's been frozen and thawed and frozen and thawed, and you can really tell a lot about that.
So if it looks really sad, it is.
Yeah, it's the fish is not going to lie to you.
Okay. Well, this is all great advice, Chef. You're going to be at the Coconut Grove Festival, a seafood festival, October 18th.
Yes.
And for tickets, you can go to coconutgroveseafoodfestival.com and find out what else is going on there. Well, this has been a really tasty week. These tuna tacos are delicious.
They are. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bonnie's face is lit up for this. Chef John Iatrelis, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I had a blast.
Great. Lure Fish Bar South Beach is located at the Lowe's Hotel in the St. Moritz Tower. Moritz Tower at 1601 Collins Avenue. And next week, we're going to be talking with Lois Exelbert. She's a certified diabetes educator. November's coming up, Diabetes Awareness Month, and we're going to be talking about that, all about it. So I'm Linda Gassenheimer.
Bye, Fred.
Nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you. Don't forget, no cooking that lobster in the microwave.
I'm throwing away my microwave.
I'm Linda Gassenheimer. Join me next week.